Today I had a lesson that's been on my heart for quite a while, and makes me wonder a lot. And my scripture reading today will be coming from Psalms 8, verses 3 and 4. Psalms 8, verses 3 and 4. In verse 3 it says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place." You ever think about, you ever look in the sky at night and see all of those wonderful lights out there? Scientists or astronomers said that they can look back 13 billion light years into the past. 13 billion light years out there. They see galaxies everywhere. And there's more galaxies out there, it's said, that there is grains of sand on all the seashores of the earth. God is powerful. And in those galaxies, there are billions and billions of stars, like our sun, some smaller, some bigger. And they say that there is more of them in our galaxy than there are grains of sand on every beach of every shore on earth. And then there's planets around a lot of these, and we won't worry about all the rest of them. I just want to focus on the one little tiny one, the third rock from the sun, which is called Earth. You ever thought about this? We are specks of a speck of a speck of a speck in the universe. Just think about that for a second. Out of the entire universe, that what we can see, because it's probably a way bigger than that. Out of all the galaxies and all the stars in our own galaxy, all we are is a speck. In verse 4 of Psalms 8, David was asking, "What is man that you are so mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" Think about that in the grand scheme of things. We're so small. But from the beginning, and I've always been kind of puzzled about this, God was special when it came down to man. Now, he created the whole universe, and he created all the galaxies, and he spoke everything into existence until he came to man. And in chapter 1 of Genesis, it tells us about that. It gives us a little bit. It says in verse 26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." But when we get into Genesis chapter 2, it even gets a little more special than that. Because in Genesis chapter 2, it kind of explains a little further as to God, how he made us. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God took special care, took special attention when it came down to man. He just didn't speak us into existence like he did everybody else. And that makes us special. And I've always wondered, why is that? Out of all the creatures and everything that God has made, why us? And us being such creatures who have disobedience. You know, when Adam and Eve, God could have destroyed them in chapter 3 of Genesis for what they had done. But instead, he punished them, but he spoke of a Savior in the future. In Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6, around verse 5, here we find the Lord, and it says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. It says, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures, and the creatures that move along the ground, and the birds in the air. It says, for I am grieved that I have made them. But then he goes on to say in verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, God could have just said, you know what, even if it's just these eight people, you know, I'm just going to go on ahead and start all over again anyway. But he didn't do that. The children of Israel. We know the story of the children of Israel. I'm not going to go into it in any length, but we know how the children of Israel started. Us Bible students, and you can all go back and look at it in Genesis and Exodus. But one thing that I want to get to was that the children of Israel, God remembered and kept his oath to save them and brought them to the land of promise, even though and even through all their rebellion. He could have started over with a new people. God is that powerful. The man who, the one who sat there and made the universe and made the galaxies and made all of us, could have just said, you know what, I'm going to start all over again with these people. And throughout the Old Testament, God's people rebelled time and again and became like the rest of the world. And yet God would save them time after time after time. You know, in the New Testament, our Lord was long-suffering with the people and with the disciples and with the apostles as well. You know, after all, with all that unfaithfulness and everything and trying to teach them, he could have said, you know what, I forget this. I'm just going to start all over again. But he said, but he didn't. I always like in that, you know, why is that? And I can only speak for myself here, but I'm going to tell you this. I am a speck of a speck of a speck in the universe. Why put up with me? Nature does what it's made to do. You ever thought about that? The trees, they grow, they reach for the sun. They spread out and they shade the ground. All of the plants do what they were made to do. All of the animals are made to do what do what they were made to do. But not us. And you know, it one of the hardest things I had to do this past year was had to put my dog to sleep. But let me tell you about that. My dog, and all of us, you know, some people say, well, dogs don't have feelings. They don't know nothing about love. Maybe it's because you never owned one. My dog, no matter how mad I was, my dog would always seek my forgiveness. No matter how, you know, bad I was feeling or whatever else would go on in my life, you know, my dog was there. He'd be there to lick my face or do whatever I, you know, whatever she thought would make me happy. Always wanted my approval, loyal to the end. My dog. It's what God made that dog. And I'm supposed to be more special than that dog. But that dog shows more love than I have. He acts more Christian-like than I've ever done. But yet, I'm the special one. Let's think about that for a minute. We are the only ones on this earth. God gave us a soul. God gave us salvation. for those of us who choose to go there and strive to be there with them. But yet we have animals and plants. They're not promised nothing. They're not promised salvation. They don't have souls, but yet they do exactly what God says. What about us? You know, the Lord answered that question for the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 7, the Lord tells Israel, "The Lord did not set his affections on you and chose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were fewest of all peoples." Verse 8 goes on to say, "But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he had sworn to your forefathers that he would bring you out with a mighty hand and redeem you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." It was God's love. You know, our Savior, Jesus too, told us in the book of John, very familiar verse. God said, our Lord and Savior said that when it came to us in verse 16 of chapter 3 in John, "For God so loved the world." God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. It's because God loves us. And don't ask me why. Because sometimes I got to ask my, you know, it's, why would he? Us being as wretched as we are, always doing wrong, never wanting to do right. But our Savior says that God so loved the world that he sacrificed his Son. And Christ loved us too so much that he was willing to be obedient to his Father, willing to come down from glory, humbled himself to be as one of us, showing us what God would have us do, giving us examples of how we should be, and then be willing to sacrifice himself on that cross, be willing to take all of the beatings, take all the abuse that he had to take, be strung up on that cross, go through that pain, that suffering for us. You know, sometimes I think it's selfish. When I sit up there and think of myself and think of all the things that go through my mind sometimes, knowing that through all the universe and everything else, I'm special to God, and I would have my mind somewhere other than God, knowing what God has done for us each and every day. God's love has always been there, and from the beginning had a plan for our salvation. We could turn to Romans chapter 5. There, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And Paul says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that we, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Every possibility from the beginning, God had planned for us, his love for us. He had this all in the plan, all in the works. Being the wretched creatures that we are, still wanting to save us, still wanting to help us in any way that he possibly could, going to the ultimate sacrifice, his son. Let's turn to Ephesians now, if you would with me, to chapter 2. And this is what Paul was telling the Ephesians in chapter 2, starting at verse 1. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the rulers of the kingdoms of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful natures and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace and God's love. Nothing that we did special. Nothing that we did at all, as a matter of fact. Sometimes I sit here and I think, as I said before, with all the bad things I've done, all the people I've wronged in my life, some things I can't take back. Some things I can't turn around and make right. Some of the wrongs I did. I think to myself, why me? As I said before, a speck of a speck of a speck. You know, sometimes with our kids, we have that same type of love. No matter what they do, no matter how they act, we're still always in the works, us parents, trying to figure out ways to bring them back. Trying to figure out ways to, sometimes we even do it in advance. That's love. And God's love is so much greater. God's love is pure. It's long-suffering. It's great. It's just like our love for our children, only his is much greater. Sometimes we have a line that we won't cross with our love, not so with God. You know, God's love is so great for us and for me. And I can only talk about me right now, but God woke me up this morning. And when God woke me up this morning, I was saying to myself, it must be because he's given me another day, another chance to do good, another chance to sit there and right the wrongs, the ones that I can do. Change my life. Each and every day I wake up, this speck, it's nothing. And God woke me up anyway. Why? Because God loves me and wants to give me another chance. The same with you. Another chance to be obedient. Another chance to walk the path that his son walked. To be more Christ-like. To show more love. I would like everybody to turn to Matthew's chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus still extends that to us. Jesus says in verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, Jesus is saying, be connected with him, learning and walking the path he walked. He's also saying that he has taken most of the burden away. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We don't have to go out and do these great things. We don't have to try to perform a miracle or anything like that. He doesn't say all of that. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not asking us to do that much. Just wants us to love. Just wants us to be more like his son. Just be more Christ-like. As I said before, I don't understand why God loves us so much, but I'm glad he does. Every morning, and this is the truth, every morning I am on my knees, first thing in the morning, and I thank God for waking me up. I thank God for waking up my family. I thank God for being with my family and watching over them and having them make it to the next day. I thank God for my Christian family. I thank God for my friends. I thank God for everything. I ask him, and I tell God, I'm going to try to be a better person today than I was the day before, and I ask for his help. God is such an awesome God. When we think about the universe and stuff like that, you know, I heard a preacher says, and he says it all the time, when we talk about that word awesome. You know, they say Michael Jordan is awesome. Yeah, he puts up some good scores and he dribbles and he does all these wonderful things, but that's not awesome. We have all these other people, these singers, and we say these singers are awesome. That's not awesome. This preacher would go on to say, what's awesome is scooping up some dirt from the ground, breathing into it and making man. Now, that's awesome. Saying, let there be light, and there's light. That's awesome. All of these things God does is awesome. And we ought to look at that stuff. We ought to look at ourselves. What are we? We're insignificant. A lot of times we sit up there and we run our lives as though that we're super important and all these things. But in reality, we ought to be glad that God has allowed us to live another day. And I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of things in my life. It just makes me wonder, why did he bother to let me live another day? But I'm just so glad that he does. I'm so glad that he loves me. You know, if there's anybody who's not a Christian, who is not a blood-washed, baptized member of this congregation, I can tell you this. God graces you, gives you grace as well. He wakes us up. He wakes you up in the morning just like he wakes us up. But if you don't have Christ in your life, you're really missing out. I can go to God in the morning. I can go to God at night. I can go to God at any time of the day and pray to him. He's going to hear my prayers. I'm going to benefit from his good teaching. I'm going to be able to help others. If you don't have God in your life, you are sorely missing out on a lot of things. And I wish you would come. You know, Jesus is always there. In Revelations 3 and 20, he says, here I am. I'm standing at the door knocking. He's standing at the door of your hearts, and he is knocking. He was waiting, and he says he wants you to let him in. He's not going to kick that door in like Rambo and say, take my hand if you want to live. He's not going to do any of that. He's waiting for you to come to the door and let him in. And he said, if you do that, he will sup with you and you with him. Because of his love, he stands there at the heart, our hearts each and every day, steady knocking. And for those of us who are Christians who may have fallen away, he's doing that still. He's knocking. He's standing there. He's ready to receive you. He's ready to take you back at any time. But you got to be willing to do this. He's not going to force any of these things on you. Each and every day is a blessing that we get up in the morning. Each and every day we ought to think about that. We ought to think about God. We ought to think about his love for us. And he has given us something that there is nothing on earth that we can do that can pay for it. Nothing that we can do on this earth where we can earn salvation. And he doesn't ask much of us to give that to us. You know, with all the blessings that he gives us and everything that us being so special, we should strive. We should want to go to, we should want to have that salvation. We should want to be with him one day. You know, they talk about heaven, and I'm sure in Revelations it doesn't even give it justice of what it must look like up there and how things must be. We should strive to be that way. We should strive to get there, to be with such a loving person is God. And I would ask you that you please just think about this. Just think about us. Just think about when you're looking at the stars at night, when you're looking at the trees, when you're looking at the complexities of nature. And then think about us and how special we are. And we could be even more special. We could be with Him. We could be with Him forever if we would just obey Him. Just do what He says. Just come back to Him. As I said, for those who are not members of the body, please consider this. And those who are members of the body who may have drifted away, please consider my words. Please consider what I'm saying. All of us. And I thank you so much for listening to me. And right now, we, if we would, we have a song that's selected for our Savior's invitation.